that it feels like the fight is over. We finished. We went all the way to the finish line. And now there is a crown of life. I mean, isn't it amazing? Oh, it all comes to me. James 1:12, Revelation 2:10. You look at the 10:27 of Isaiah. The yoke lifted, the burden removed. Be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life promised. And I tell you, I feel that is exactly what I'm in possession of right now, is the crown of life has been placed on my head today. And my wife is saying the same thing. I'm experiencing the vitality, the vibrance of life. It feels like the vibrance factor has just been turned up. Maybe the Lord's like, yeah, we've ran out of tests. I think that's so funny. Yep, we've ran out of fire for Chris. Well, we ain't got nothing left for him. Oh, man. He's hollering to the angels. Do we have any other torture devices left? Boss, believe it or not, with that Criswell kid, we used them all. In fact, I hate to give you the bad news. We used a couple of them over a dozen times. It's now 8:42, same day, September 12th, 2022. I'm still on the trail. And I've just been in prayer since I ended that recording at 8:28 and meditating. And I totally forgot about the 8:28. And suddenly I just got to the end of the trail and I turned around and I'm thinking, God, I just feel like I'm on a high. I just said, oh my God in heaven, Lord. When I think about how every single thing that you have done up to this moment, including September 11, coming and going with no visible circumstance change, to get me to my wife in New Zealand. I said, God, you have worked everything together for good. And suddenly I thought of the 8:28 that my recording ended on. And I've said this many times throughout the years, but it's like now I have another mile marker I've achieved. And I want to look back to the praise of God again. And I'm thinking to myself when I was reflecting earlier in that first recording about all the tears, the prayers, the discouragements, the battles of faith, the antagonism from Satan, the persecution, the perplexity, the delays of time, contradictions, misunderstandings, all these things that I have faced and dealt with God out here on this trail. I just found myself saying, God, my life is amazing. Lord, you have made my life amazing. If you've truly understood this life, it is amazing. I just passed a guy who just seems like such a likable guy. I almost feel like I'd like to have that guy as a friend. And if I knew I was going to be staying long, I may say, man, we ought to go have coffee one time. I just love to get to know you. We're colleagues on the trail. His name's Jonathan. And he just seems like such a nice, humble guy. And I don't know, there's just something about him that I'm drawn to. And I just saw him again this morning on the trail. And I've seen him a couple, maybe four or five times now. And I was just thinking, how could I explain to him my life? To meet anybody on the trail and then to try to explain my life would be a job. And it would freak a lot of people out. I would basically, and I had this thought come to me, I'd basically have to say something like this. So for the first 36 years of my life, I lived just like pretty much everybody in the world does. I looked to see what my strengths were, my weaknesses, my opportunities, and threats. And then I went out to set out thinking that if I just made a bunch of money, I would be able to have some sort of a happy life, provide and do some things I want, make a difference in the world along the way, etc. The typical life that everybody kind of wants. Travel, see the world, enjoy some good things, etc. Pleasures. And I got there, and it didn't taste like what I thought. I was still missing something deep in my heart. Because I had been calling myself a Christian, I was aware that my life was not measuring up to what the life of Jesus Christ and his followers in the New Covenant looked like. And so I let go of all that life. And this is the part where it would get really scary for anybody who doesn't want to let go of that life. My story would become very uncomfortable at this point because people are like, wait a second, that doesn't make any sense. Why would you give up the quote good life all of us are working so hard for, and all the videos on YouTube that try to tell you how to find it? That's where my story doesn't make sense to the people in the world, because there was something going on inside that people couldn't see and people don't know, because most people are living for themselves and not God, for this life, not the life to come. And so then I'd have to explain at that point, I took a leap of faith to trust that God had a purpose for my life, that He had a plan, that He had love, that He had guidance and direction, and that I would not regret finding out what it is once I die and stand in His presence, and that I needed to start considering it now before it was too late. And I took a leap when I was brought by His Spirit into a crisis, realizing I had no peace. I surrendered my whole life and I said, if You're truly the living God that I have believed now for all these years You are, I want all of You or none of You. I don't want to be this torn between trying to make a life here and trying to prepare for the life to come. And I'm willing to let go of this life in order to have that life. And I took a leap and I jumped into a life of faith, of believing that God would speak to me, that He would somehow or another give me signs to let me know that He was there, to give me direction, to tell me which way I should turn, to give me instruction about crossroads I came to my life, and about events that I faced, difficulties, life decisions, life purpose, all that, that I believed by faith that God would speak to me about these things. And He would, in His own unique way, begin to let me know, I know You and call You by name, and because You're willing, so am I. I will do this in your life. I will speak to you. I will begin to manifest Myself to you, just as the Scripture promises in John 14:21-23, whoever has My commands and obeys them, Jesus said, he is the one who loves Me. He who loves Me will be loved by My Father, and I too will love him and manifest or show Myself to him. And then Jesus also said that if anyone chooses to do His will by putting His teachings into practice, one of which is to lose your life in this life, to find it in the life to come, that you would find out in this life that His teachings really were from God and He wasn't just some false prophet speaking on His own. And I decided to take the leap, and I did, and I found out. And that life is exceedingly uncomfortable to the life of nature, because it then becomes a life where you're entirely rejecting living your life for yourself, making your own decisions, and you're basically signing up to become a slave to Jesus Christ, to the Spirit of the living God and the Holy Bible. And you're believing that He's a good master, that He knows better for your life than you do. And you're believing that the only way to have eternal life and any confidence that you will live forever on the other side of this life, which so quickly is just fleeting and gone by, is to acknowledge Him as Lord, not just in some intellectual assent or in a moment of historical acknowledgement, but to acknowledge Him in the presence as your living Lord and Master. And I did that. And all of this was done by faith. There wasn't some person that came and showed me proof. And this is another point, is that because God's made me a leader, there has been no other example for me to follow in real life. There was nobody, there was no Michael Criswell for me to follow. I had to figure these things out all on my own. Hence, I cry out, you know, like that in that one crying video. I had to learn this all on my own. I didn't have a father. I didn't have, God never allowed me. It's amazing when I look back how many doors God closed to men that I wanted so bad to cling to, because He was going to make me a leader. He was going to make me a prophet. He was going to put His words in my mouth and have me send a message against the Western belief in Christianity, what Western civilization calls Christianity, not against Christianity, but their definition of it. And He was going to begin to raise me up and give me a purpose for my life that would live beyond the grave in heaven. And anyhow, so I just was thinking about how crazy it would be for me to try to explain this to somebody. And then from that point forward, the other bad news would be that I would have to explain to people that we have gone through so much suffering and difficulty. And because I chose to follow Jesus by faith, it meant exact opposite of what a lot of people in the West teach about Christianity, that suddenly your life is going to become blessed. Your plans are always going to work out. The finances are always going to be topped off. The health is always going to be filled with vitality. And the enemies are always going to be kept at bay. And so will the depression and the sadness and the discouragement and the persecution and the being made fun of and sorrowful days. And no, that's not true. On the contrary, it actually invites all of those things, because that's how you prove that you believe He is Lord, that you believe He's the Lord of resurrection and life. You believe there is a heaven. You believe that the real life is the life to come, not this life. And you're willing to have a few tokens to find out, John 7:17, that His words really are for Him, that He really is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. And you find out and you get enough Reese Pieces in this life, enough little savannas, enough little oases along the way, enough little comforts to make it worth your while, enough little answers to prayer, some dramatic experiences and all that to let you know that you really are touching heaven. You really are having a heavenly experience, and you really were wise to give up this life for the life to come. That seems so unbelievably foolish to people. And it's probably never been more foolish than today, when you look at what's being done and said and how people live today in the name of religion, and in particular in the name of Christianity. If I was somebody in the world and I looked at what most people call Christianity today, I'd be like, I'm not interested. Not interested. And it's just this dead form, no power, and it makes you into a hypocrite. You live just like the people that aren't joining your club. You're going after all the same things they are, the same house, the same cars, the same money, the same financial freedom, the same vacations. You're living to save up for a rainy day. You're living the same way. It's all up to you. And you just acknowledge, like a cherry on top, Jesus Christ. Like a lucky rabbit's foot, American Western Christianity just literally adds Jesus like a lucky rabbit's foot, that somehow or another, that's going to bless all my plans. And in the end, I get to have my cake and eat it too. I get to go to heaven. I get to have had my life here and my life to come. And this is the tragedy of what people call Christianity today. But when you come up against something like this, it's bizarre. Why did you give up all this stuff? Why were you willing to lose your entire family? Why were you willing to lose your 5 children? Why were you willing to lose your business, your career of 20 years that made you so many financial, you know, comforts? Why did you give all that up? People have to know, I found something better. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure buried in a field. When a man finds it, he goes and sells all that he has to buy that field. I mean, I could just say that is one of the great proofs that I'm a Christian right there. If you cannot look at your life and say that it doesn't look like you sold all that you have, it doesn't necessarily mean literally you sold everything. It means that your life and your heart looks like you have sold the idea of having anything in this world. You're living for the master and the life to come. I would just ask somebody to check themselves. Does your life look like you sold all that you had to buy that field? You look at Lisa's life, she sold all that she had to buy the field. That's why it looks like she wasted her life. She sold all that she had. She gave up on all the worldly dreams. It's incredible to see how many parables in the Word of God are alive in our actual existence, our actual Christian walk and story. And so I don't want to keep going too far down this road, but I came to this point where I just said, God, this moment, September 12th, 2022, I just completed, that's another thing that's amazing, is I just completed 21 years and 21 days. Yesterday was the 21st day of the 21st year since the very first dated event happened in my life with the opening of the Lord's Gym on August 22nd, 2001. 21 years, 21 days. Oh, I love these breezes. Oh, I love them. Praise you, God in heaven. Praise you, God in heaven, for what you've done. Praise you, God in heaven, for what you've done. Oh, Father, praises to your holy name. Oh, I just praise this holy name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Oh, I'm just so thankful for what God has done. It's amazing how I mentioned the 21 years and now this wind is blowing. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Oh man, I love that. I love how many times it's been so quiet and suddenly I say something or do something or mention something and suddenly this mighty rushing wind comes. This has happened so many times in my recordings over the years. Just love it. And now you can hear it's calming down again. Oh man, I just love it when that happens. I just said 21 years, 21 days. It's like a time of completion. There's something complete about that. Now listen to this, it's totally calm. I mean, there's no movement whatsoever. It's totally calm. That is incredible how that happens. Just incredible how that happens, God. I'm so thankful for that. Praise his holy name. I just love it when the breezes come. Praise his holy name. Praise his holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Here it comes again. Wow. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. That's incredible. Oh, man, it's incredible. See, I don't just look at these things and just say, oh, yeah, that's just the wind. The wind blows everywhere. I've seen it too many times. And the Bible intentionally points out in the book of Acts chapter 2 that when the Spirit came, it was the sound of a mighty rushing wind. Jesus described the Spirit to John in John chapter 3:3-8 to Nicodemus as a wind which blows wherever it pleases. And so, yeah, I just am so thankful for that. I've always seen when God would do something like that as like a little confirmation, a kiss on the cheek. And I've caught it on video before, where I've been just totally on the mountain somewhere, dead silent, and suddenly this mighty rushing wind while I'm praising him or saying something happens, and it just blesses me. Just blesses me so much. And it's almost always tied to a specific moment or something I said. Praise his holy name. That's another example right there of God manifesting, how he says, I'll manifest myself. And of course, that's by faith. I believe these things by faith. When the Bible says not even a bird falls to the ground apart from the will of God, not a hair of your head falls to the ground apart from the will of God, then I believe not even a wind blows apart from the will of God. So, oh yeah, the 8:28, I just came back to the idea that how I can say right now on September 12th, you know, 21 years and 21 days from the first dated event, that God has indeed worked all things, every single thing, including the worst of the worst. He's worked it all together for good. And if I would give myself any advice right now, I would say, be very quick to remember that. If I could look back on my old self just getting started out, I would say, have the faith to believe that God loves you so much, Michael, that although you're going to go through some really painful things, the best way to get through it all is to stay calm, stay low, humble, and stay faithful. and be patient. Humility, faith, patience. And trust and know and tell yourself, this too is going to turn for my good. That God is doing something for my good. I wish I could have taught myself even faster. I mean, clearly I have believed that, otherwise I wouldn't have made it this far. If I look at my life through the eyes of nature, all the difficulties, reversals, perplexities, sufferings, and all that, I'd say, well, God's not for me. He's clearly slaying me. Or I'm being slayed by the devil and deceived. But when I see that every single difficulty has turned for my good, primarily for the good of my spiritual blessings in my heart, I still am frustrated that I have flesh that can so quickly forget these things, that can have a moment like I did, you know, 3 months ago on the mountain back in June, end of May and June, when the fire was really getting hot and I was really getting upset about the bags and everything being held back and just feeling such a horrible grind. See, God is doing a work. He's working with the fire and exposing dross. But I really wish I could have more quickly reminded myself, Michael, Romans 8:28, and we would see it all the time. But it's one thing to see it. It's one thing to quote the verse. It's another thing to be able to apprehend it in your heart such that it affects the way you feel towards the circumstances. And albeit, again, I have done this. I don't want to beat myself up because I'm the guy in the same recording where I'm at one point saying, I'm mad at you, God. I turn around and say, I know you're working all this together for the good, and I know you're working for a date. What is that but God working all things together for the good? And so I've just seen this, and I know. And it's like I thought to myself the other day, whether it's a blister or a disappointment or a foul comment, I mean, I literally start to see that you can say God truly does work everything together for the good. Even thinking of the example of the money that sister has felt moved of God to give to us, that she says is now ours and it's just sitting in her account still until it gets here. Those delays, her bank telling her that they called my bank and said I'm a fraud and lying to her and all this stuff to try to keep her money in their bank and all that crazy stuff. I told Lisa last night, I said, sweetheart, look at how God has worked together for the good, even that. I said, if we would have gotten that money back when she said, and when she tried to wire the first part of it, I said, we would have had the money to put a deposit on a different piece of land that God wouldn't have wanted us. I said, you can already see, perhaps we may have spent it on something that we weren't supposed to. And then we find out later, God gives us a totally different piece of land in August than what we had originally been led to. All the zigzagging that God does with us, leading me to think we're going to Texas, first New Zealand 3 years ago, then same thing 3 years ago, he starts showing us Texas, Texas, Texas. And then turns out he leads us to Huntsville. He leads me to believe Laura, Laura, Laura. Then he leads me to Persis. He leads me to think I'm selling the tiny house and moving to New Zealand. And then he says, keep it and live in it here. Then he leads me to believe we're going to be selling the tiny house again. And I'm moving to New Zealand with Lisa. And then he says, no, send the tiny house there. And so he does this to keep you constantly dependent. It has worked so good. When I look at these weird things, he led us to believe we were going to rent this one land from these people, and there were all these providences. Her dad cuts the guy's hair. We really loved the property at first glance. It looked good. And then the deal kind of goes sideways, and there's something that bad happens, and we're like, wait a second. And then we see God leading us away from it. We see him leading us to this one town, 512s. We're believing, oh, well, maybe the Lord's leading us there. And we do this zigzag, and we go, and Lisa looks at the property, and it turns out it's a disaster. And so he zigzagged us and led us on this journey exactly like the Israelites being moved from one sand dune to another, to another, to another, to another, to another, before you get to the promised land. And each one of these zigzags and up and moves is a part of character development, part of testing the faith, part of the vital experience of the wilderness journey, that God then turns and works all things together for the good. And when I look at all the zigging and the zagging and the upping and the downing and the starting and the stopping and all that stuff, I just think to myself right now on this day, I can fully, once again, justify my Father in everything He has done. It has all worked for my good. I love who I am and who my wife is right now as a Christian better than I've ever loved what God has done in us. I've never appreciated more who we are as Christians and who I am as a servant of the Lord, I think, than right now. There's a sense of, a small little sense of being able to say, I fought the good fight, I finished the race, I kept the faith. For a season. And these battles, you have to say this, 2 Timothy 4:7, you get to say this at each battle. He was saying it the final time. But there's a sense that this is complete. And I love, by the grace, not who I am apart from Him, but by the grace of Jesus Christ, I love who my wife and I are right now. And I just see Romans 8:28 written all over the whole thing. And this is only for me, not to mention the countless thousands of people that have been touched by this story or some part of it. Even the ones who came and went, even the ones who went and set up websites trying to take clips of mine and turn me into a false prophet, and setting up websites or setting up, you know, YouTube channels. Even the people that did that, God works all things together for the good. And I can think of one in particular instance where a gentleman had been commenting on that other guy's YouTube channel about me, and he finally came directly to me and he says, man, I have some questions for you about this. I could tell he was struggling to believe everything that this other guy was saying. He was struggling because all the other things in my life are contradicting what that guy was trying to make me out to be. And he was coming to me to ask me questions, and I said, man, I really appreciate your sincerity. I just don't have the time. I'm carrying on a great work, and I no longer take the time to defend myself for the testimony. I said, the Lord has already vindicated me. I just say the same thing as Jesus. I have one who testifies in mine who has a greater testimony than that of even John the Baptist. His name is God the Father. His works that He's doing in my life, all the dates and the times, the prophetic, the answered prayers, those testify that God is with me and I'm with Him. Let him have him who has ear to hear, hear. If you trip over Jesus Christ picking, you know, wheat on the Sabbath, healing people on the Sabbath, taking money from women, being homeless, flipping over change tables, screaming at the Pharisees, calling Herod a fox. If you trip over those things, then you're not supposed to be a Christian. You're not one of His true followers. If you're not hearing His voice, you're not. And so I have learned to just say, okay, that's fine. You don't get it? You don't get it. I can't do anything about it. I can't save all the people that would want to be saved. And Jesus didn't either. He didn't even entrust Himself to a lot of them. John 2:24. He saw what was in their hearts and He turned away from them. So I just see how literally everything has worked for our good. Not one thing has not worked for our good. I mean, Lisa's garbage can was stolen a couple of days ago, last week. And immediately I thought, wow, I can feel the temptation to be really mad at that after all we're going through, and somebody just ups and steals your big garbage can out on the road, you know, and just, it's just so low and so pathetic. It really is. It just shows the lowliness and pathetic nature of human beings to do stuff like that. And so I just said, nevertheless, I said, we'll find, I told her, I said, we'll find a Romans 8:28. God can even work this for good. I said, perhaps He'll convict the person of sin. You know, perhaps you'll end up getting a brand new can that's even better, like yours was getting ready to fall apart. I said, we will see that there will be some good come out of this. What's remarkable is 3 days later, she looked out the window and there it was. She said, sweetheart, you won't believe it. My garbage can was resurrected. 3 days later, she looks out the window and she's like, she sees the garbage can sitting outside her house. Somebody brought it back. And we were praising God. And I'm sitting here looking at that going, man, you talk about Romans 8:28. Like, that could have gone either way, but no matter how it went, it was going to work for our good. We were either going to praise Him for a new can and for conviction for somebody who stole it, or in this instance, we praised Him because He resurrected it. It just goes to show we just have to trust God with everything. Romans 8:28. For those who love Him and are called according to His purpose, meaning you're elect in God and you love Him. It's interesting, it puts two restraints on that. It's not just those who love God, it's those who are also called. Because there are many multiplied millions who, quote, love God. I met all kinds of Hindus that love God. And I know all kinds of Catholics that love God. But they are not going to find, and all kinds of charismatics that love God. And they are not going to find Romans 8:28 in their life. Hence the reason why they write books about how the devil's ruined everything and steals everything, and it's always the devil this, it's the devil that, and he ruined my life, and he did this, and we got to fight against that devil. He's the thief. And yes, again, these things are all true, but that's not what you hear in my life. You hear, oh, that devil is getting after me, but I know God will turn this around. This is for my good. God is in control, not Satan. Sanctified afflictions, Romans 8:28. He's working all things together for the good to those who love him. And I just feel so good today. I am so thankful. I'm going to go get myself a breakfast maybe and get a nice coffee on the way home. I just feel so happy. I think I'm just going to rest today, take a day off. Probably watch a few little episodes of one of Tyler's show with him. He wants me to finish up this show. And I may watch some of that with him, spend a little extra time with him. And it's a beautiful day outside today. I worked really hard yesterday on episode 88. Had to rewrite it, right? Had to write the whole part of it. It was just too hard to try to piece it all together with recordings. And my sweetheart is sleeping. And I bet she's going to have really restful sleep tonight, I hope. Hope she doesn't wake up and think and imagine how things could happen. But wow, I just feel so beautiful in my heart right now. I just feel so beautiful. These are those moments where you feel like, I'm like, man, if God made us wait 5 years, we can wait 5 years. That is the grace of Jesus Christ. I know right now if Lisa hears that, she'll go, hey, I don't have that much grace. But it's the point of how you can feel wonderful. This is the best I've ever felt in my life after falling off of a high building. And I fell off the highest building I've ever fell off, 9/11. And yet it's very possible. And even if nothing happens, I pray if God will keep me in this grace, I'm fine with it. I don't need an explanation. I just trust him. Just trust him. Lord, your will be done. And oh man, the sweetness of him having broken me from that. From wanting, you know, my will done, my way, whenever, all those years. And now just the sweet acquiescence. And I wish it was easier. You can't always just get there right away. It does take suffering. It does take the flame to be exposed again and again to bring up more layers of dross. And unfortunately, God doesn't just take it all out at once. He takes a bunch sometimes, but he won't usually take it all out at once. He has to, you know, put you in the fire, let some of that nasty stuff come up, scrape it off with your help, and then he cools you off, gives you a little sense of, ah, but then before you know it, you're going to go back in the fire, he's going to bring another layer of dross, takes you out, and each time he's increasing the heat or the length in the heat because he's going for deeper amounts of dross. And I tell you, praise God, I feel be mature and complete in my heart right now. It just feels mature and complete, like perseverance has finished its good work. Again, not that I'm suddenly going to turn into an angel, not that I'm fully Jesus Christ, not that I've reached perfection, but I feel like I've reached completeness in this particular area of my life, maybe for most areas after all the suffering I've been through. Maybe the Lord's like, yeah, we've ran out of tests. I think that's so funny. Yep, we've ran out of fire for Chris. Well, we ain't got nothing left for him. Oh, man. He's hollering to the angels. Do we have any other torture devices left? Boss, believe it or not, with that Criswell kid, we used them all. In fact, I hate to give you the bad news. We used a couple of them over a dozen times. Oh man, it just feels, that is so funny to me, especially when I saw 522 again last night. You will laugh at destruction. I started, I think, a recording or something last night or something I made, and it was something 522, and I almost said to Lisa, oh baby, that's, You will laugh at destruction, and here I am today. I just feel such joy in my heart. Man, I feel such joy in my heart. It's just incredible. I'm just sitting down on a perfectly shaped rock for a seat for a minute. Just so, so thankful. You know, maybe this is complete. Maybe this is why God has been showing me and the land enjoyed 40 years of peace. Maybe that 40 years of peace has finally come. Maybe the Lord is finally going to bless me. I tell you, I feel like I'm sitting on a savanna overlooking the hills. Not a savanna, but I feel like I'm sitting on the rolling hills out there where our property is at with my wife. I feel that joy in my heart. I feel so light and thankful and beautiful. It's such a beautiful morning this morning. And it's just a restful. It's not like, you know, sugar high. It's just a restful. Granted, I haven't had any food, but I mean, I'm just trying to say it's not one of those emotions where you get really high. If it's a high, it's a spiritual high. And I'm just calling it a high because I've come down from so low the last couple of months of really waiting and being in the fire a lot. Wow, it just feels beautiful. It's like a reward for persevering. This is your reward. No weapon formed against you will prevail. When you go, you know, in the waters, I will not let the water go over your head. When you go through the fire, I will be with you and I won't let you be burned up. He gets in there with you. And right now just feels so sweet. I don't want this to end. It really feels so beautiful. Like I feel like released from the fight. I don't feel like I have to fight anymore. That's another thing that's amazing about this. That it feels like the fight is over. We finished. We went all the way to the finish line. And now there is a crown of life. I mean, isn't it amazing? Oh, it all comes to me. James 1:12, Revelation 2:10. You look at the 10:27 of Isaiah. The yoke lifted, the burden removed. Be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life promised. It only mentions crown of life twice. James 1:12, Revelation 2:10. And I tell you, I feel that is exactly what I'm in possession of right now, is the crown of life has been placed on my head today. And my wife is saying the same thing. The crown of life is not, you're in New Zealand. Be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. Life is in the heart. Life is in the spirit. Hence, Proverbs 4:23. Above all things, guard your heart, for out of it flows the wellspring of life. Life is in the heart. And hope does not disappoint, for God has poured out His love into our hearts. It's in our heart. Wow, I just thank you for this light, God. I just thank you for the light. I mean, I'm human, so I can forget things, but God, I'm remembering now how true these principles are, that it feels like I have the crown of life. I feel like I've been crowned. I feel like I'm walking today and everything is under my feet. That's what it feels like. It feels like the devil is under my feet. It feels like he's gone. He's had to flee. I've been given peace and at rest with my enemies. The man who does the will of God and pleases him, he makes even his enemies be at peace with him. I feel I'm wearing a crown of life. That is exactly what's going on. That's what Lisa says. This has to be the grace of God. I have no disappointment. It's the crown of life. It's not just me getting my wife. She gets the crown of life as well. She persevered as much, if not as more than I did. You know, when you make it relative to how much time we've spent under tension, how much time and knowledge and insight we have from the Lord, she's been right there with me the whole time. And she's been fighting a big boy battle. And she has done amazing. I'm so proud of her. I'm so proud of her. I'm proud of us. Praise God in heaven. I'm proud of us. Paul talks about, you know, stop comparing yourselves to other people. Compare yourselves to yourselves. Then you can take pride in yourself, basically. And a good pride. I'm not proud of something I did apart from Christ, but I'm proud of the part that we did to receive God's grace. I'm not, you know, like the Pharisee, I am thankful I am not like other men, adulterers, robbers, thieves, and, you know, Sabbath breakers and all this kind of stuff. But I am glad that I'm not like them, but not because of my righteousness, but because of Jesus Christ's righteousness. And I'm so thankful. I feel I have the crown of life on my head today, and it came yesterday. I feel I was crowned yesterday. Lisa can testify. I told her all day, sweetheart, something is different. I'm feeling like better than I've ever felt. And I was feeling bad about telling her about it in case she wasn't feeling it yet. But this was happening all day yesterday. The crown of life was put on my head yesterday. And it got put on my wife's head apparently sometime in the afternoon, when she probably at some moment just went ahead and accepted and acquiesced, and God said, you did it, here you go. And now I'm going to pray that the Lord allows us to wear this crown as long as He is willing to let us wear it all the way to the end, if He's willing. We both have suffered a great deal in our life. This just feels wonderful. I don't want this moment to end. I don't want this day to end. This feels so wonderful. It feels like everything is under my feet. Everything is under my feet. Satan is under my feet. He has been made defeated. And it's like what Paul says in that one scripture, you know, about persevering, you know, and that one day soon God will crush Satan under your feet. It feels like that just happened for me. It feels like Satan has been crushed. All this attack, all these snakes. And oh my goodness gracious, how I need to go back and look now at the rattlesnake that was this time at peace with me. I knew that that was a sign. Here it is. I'm sticking my camera in the face of this gigantic rattlesnake, walking right up to him. First time ever. He never makes a sound. He moves just a tiny bit, you know, and then he sees me and he stops and he just stays very restful. He doesn't move. He doesn't go into attack position. He doesn't send off the first rattle. And you can see in the video, I'm putting my camera so close right up to him. He's not bothered at all. And I had an emotional moment that day. And he's laying there and he's just calm. Man, I tell you, that has so much meaning to today. That has so much meaning to today. And I remember I wept. I said, man, I feel like God has just shown me that He's given me peace with this creature, this serpent that's been blocking my path for so long, that God is giving me peace with the enemy and all these promises. And what's also amazing is 8:28 of Judges. And the land enjoyed rest and peace for 40 years. It's not just Romans 8:28. I told Lisa recently, I said, how remarkable, we've been seeing all these 8:28s along with the 5:31, Judges 5:31. And the land enjoyed rest for 40 years. I feel like that airplane flying over my head right now. I feel like I'm flying over all of my circumstances. Something is completely different. Something is completely different. I'm in the possession of a crown of life. Suddenly, I'm having this remarkable experience where the greens are greener, the blues are bluer. I'm seriously feeling something amazing. It feels like I'm being released into life. Darkness is fleeing. And how incredible that God is doing this apart from giving me my wife and putting me into New Zealand. And I don't have the first care or concern about that. Again, I have to say, I am so thankful that God has me right here, right now in Huntsville, Alabama, and I didn't get zapped or transported yesterday to New Zealand, because I'm standing in something that is so miraculous, so amazing, so beautiful. And not only that, but it is a beautiful morning. It's a cool, like one of the coolest 63 degrees when I came out. It's probably, you know, getting closer to 68 or something now. Fall is starting, the sun is shining, it's a beautiful morning, there's a little bit of a breeze, the wind has blown a few times, it was just a refreshing experience. I know this is the crown of life. I said, Lisa, I'm seeing 112 every single day, multiple times a day. Sweetheart, God is telling me something. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, for after he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life. This is what I would want anybody to hear, that if you could, like literally, if I never saw Lisa, I'm having so much joy in my heart that if all I ever had was a long distance relationship with her, if he kept me in the grace that I'm in right now, I'd be completely okay with it. I'd still be happy. I don't have her right now, and I love her so much. I've never loved anybody this much. I've never been this happy from somebody else being in my life ever. I've never had anybody respect me as much as she has, and fight for me and suffer for me as much as she has. And yet, the way I'm feeling right now in my heart, I could live forever without having to see her, if God would will it, that He would give me this kind of grace. And yet, I know that the Lord is going to allow me to have my wife, which is so delightful, but it proves the greater grace, the greater love. If I was not pleasing to God, if Lisa were not pleasing to God, John 9:31, we would not be experiencing what I'm experiencing in my heart today. Praise His holy name. I just don't even want to shut up. After all the suffering and all the darkness, then comes the light. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. That morning may be a long time away. The night may be long, but the morning comes. Oh my goodness gracious. Oh my goodness gracious. I'm going to stop just repeating myself. It's just all one big praise to God. Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. You've already raised me from the dead in my heart. You've already blessed me with the crown of life. I'm in possession. I'm wearing it right now. Lisa is not my crown. You are. She's a temporary crown. Just like I may be a temporary crown for her, a blessing. But you are the crown of life, Jesus. Your grace, your Holy Spirit, and I'm wearing it right now to the praise of your name. Oh my God, thank you. A million thank yous for this, Lord. A million thank yous for this. I am a man who's just 5 days into my 49th year. 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Today is the fifth day of my 49th year. And I can say, behold, God has worked all things together for the good to those who love Him. If there was any doubt about how God has ever dealt with me, whether somebody was tempted to think He was being cruel, unkind, they need to reverse those thoughts, because the one in which whom they happened to now declares once again, God fully justified in every single dealing He's had in my heart, in every single dealing He's had in my circumstances, in my family, in anything related to do with my temporal existence. God stands fully justified, fully beautiful, fully vindicated, as if He needed me to say this, but He is fully amazing. He's perfect and precise and wise and benevolent and amazing in all that He's done. Absolutely amazing in what He's done in my life. Every single difficulty, every single blow, every single disappointment, every persecution. I've said this before, but here it is again. And this was the higher level. God is justified. I and my wife have deserved every discipline that we have received under the hand of God. We have needed it. Not that God looked to punish us, but to discipline us, train us, teach us, shape us, change our character. We have deserved every single strike that He has sent, every single test that He's put us through. And how I pray He continues to find us worthy to wear this crown of life all the days of our temporary life, all the way to the end. And that it would be a picture of what people could hope for in Christ Jesus if they'll continue to endure the trials, continue to go the long, you know, pains, years, decades, however long God wants to deal with them, that God can give you this crown of life. Wow. Goodness gracious, I can't shut up. Thank you, a million thank yous, Father. Praise your holy, righteous, amazing, wise, loving, benevolent, omniscient name. Resurrection life in Jesus Christ. Wow, I haven't felt anything like this in a long time. This is something incredible. It literally feels like I'm alive. It feels like I've been dead. I've been numb. I haven't been able to. I've had a few moments. I feel like I'm starting to feel like a teenager again. I start to feel like I'm experiencing the vitality, the vibrance of life. It feels like the vibrance factor has just been turned up. Like suddenly, life is feeling vibrant in Christ. My heart, again, I'm able to feel, and it's wow. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Praise the God in heaven. 9:33. He's a stumbling block, but those who trust in him will never be put to shame. I believe that's Romans 9:33. Wow, wow, wow. Thank you, God. Thank you, God in heaven. Thank you.